this episode of On the Bridge, I'm chatting with one of the industry favourites, Jill Rodriguez from Sea Keepers. Okay, let's start with you telling me how you came to the position you're in now.
I came to Sea Keepers in a rather different way. I don't come from the industry. I'm not from the yachting community. I was working in the UK initially for a children's hospice, and I was a fundraiser for the hospice. And then also I worked for a cancer research unit at Guildford Hospital, part of the Beacon Trust. So I was working very much in the sort of medical field, really. Right. And I was on the fundraising side. And then I came over to the US and we were based in Miami. And I thought, well, this is what I'm good at. So I went to work for Miami Children's Hospital Foundation. And I was working there on their events team. And I really loved it. I found an incredible hospital, loved the energy, loved working with the children. And then I got a phone call one day from Richard Snow of Sea Keepers and Michael Moore. And they said, we're looking for someone. We think you would be a good fit. Come in and have a chat. So I went in and talked to them about one of the events they were doing at the America's Cup, one of our signature events, Founders. And fabulous event. They needed a bit of extra help. So I said, why not? I'll come in and work on that event. I needed a break from the medical world and sick children especially. And so I joined them. And then that was back in 2014. And I'm still there. I just haven't worked out when it's best to go, really.
Don't go. Stay. So it's quite a sort of change from what you were doing before then.
It is. It is. I have to do something which I really care about.
Yeah.
And I grew up on the south coast of England in Bournemouth. All my experiences, all of them, involved a beach and involved the ocean. And I used to work in Trust House Forte in Forte's there. I was probably one of the best girls with the Mr. Whippy ice creams. And then I was a lifeguard on the beach.
Yeah.
So when the opportunity came to work in a field that I knew I loved, my soul always goes back to the ocean.
Yeah.
I thought, let's leave health and move into something.
Yeah, have a break.
Exactly. Mm. And when I saw, living in Florida, you're surrounded by water.
Yeah.
It makes absolute sense. And also Florida's ground zero for climate change.
Yeah.
We're seeing the effects of the change there every day. So I thought, let's give this a shot. And I love working there.
Can you tell me what Sea Keepers is and what the mission is?
Sea Keepers, we were actually founded 26 years ago. So we've been doing this for quite some time. But we work with the private yachting community around the world. We harness their power and their engagement to support ocean conservation, research and education. That, in a nutshell, is what we do. We have foundations that we work from, which is Science at Sea, Citizen Science, Education and community engagement. And then we work on those four pillars. We've got our headquarters in the US, we have the UK office, and then we have a chapter in New Zealand for the South Pacific, and we have one in Singapore for Asia, and we also have a new chapter in Bangladesh.
Gosh, so it's getting bigger and bigger and
we are
spreading
growing
out.
Because we're finding people are much more receptive.
Yeah.
And the yachting community is more interested. So we're growing. To accommodate.
Yeah, because I think over the last 2 years, I think I see Sea Keepers and I hear it being spoken about so much. So I feel as if the whole industry is quite engaged, even if they're not directly involved. I feel like the sort of awareness of the society and the mission is definitely growing at a rapid pace.
It is. We used to be probably one of the best kept secrets.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Because if you think about the people we work with, we don't talk about them.
No, of course. We can't.
We can't. We
often
can't.
They
come to us. They want to support us. It's all done in a very private way. And they have huge impact on what we do.
Yeah.
But people are learning more and more. And as we work with all different types of vessels, people are realizing they can get involved in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
And what we try and do is find out what people's interests are. And as that happens, then people engage. Now, not everyone has a boat, but everyone can talk about what we do.
Sure.
And everyone has a passion for the environment, more and more so. So they're coming to us to say, how can we help?
Yeah. So you can still have the involvement from individuals and vessels that want to stay private or anonymous, because as we know in this industry, there are a lot of those. But also you can have individuals or crew teams and things like that being involved in different ways. So it isn't just about vessels. It can be individuals as well who want to get involved.
Absolutely. I mean, the majority of our work has always been with the private vessels, and they have been private.
Yeah.
People are now more willing to talk about what they want to do, and they're more happy to share what they're doing, to show other people, look, you can do this too. Crew are one of the most important assets for us, for any vessel. Because once the owner says, this is a great idea, and the captain goes, let's do this, it's the crew that does it.
Yes, of course.
And we work closely with crew. We have a whole team that work with crew around the world.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's such a high turnover of crew in yachting. So you might work with some individuals on one vessel, and a year later, maybe they've been promoted to the next level and they've moved to another vessel. So then they can take that passion and education with them to then get another vessel involved or more people. So
it's true.
It's a bit of a rolling effect, isn't it?
It is. And the great thing is sometimes somebody will leave, and every time they leave, they will then be able to talk to the captain and the owner and say, have you heard of Sea Keepers?
Yeah.
And people do. A lot of people have heard of us, but quite a few people don't quite know how to engage, and they don't want to ask. So somebody jumping ship, moving to a new one, can tell our story for us.
Yeah.
And those are ambassadors for Sea Keepers, really.
I think in this industry, that is the most effective marketing anyway, is by engaging with the crew, building a relationship with them and finding their interest and passion in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then when they leave, they go to the next vessel, because it's so closed in the sense that you can't, like you say, you can't really talk about particular people or vessels. So the crew that you work with are probably your best advert.
They are. They are. Yeah. And we love when we go around all the boat shows and the industry events, we'll always attend events with them, have a few beers, glasses of wine, and listen to their stories.
Yeah.
Because they've been out at sea and they've seen things that we can't see, because they're our eyes.
Yeah.
The crew are our eyes out there. And they're the people that say, you know, I'm going over the same patch of ocean now for a few years. It's changing. We're noticing less marine life, less biodiversity. We're seeing garbage patch. We're seeing what they're seeing means we can react.
Yeah.
So without them, we can't do what we do.
In your role at the moment, what would you say your biggest challenges are? And what also are the sort of achievements you're most proud of?
The challenge is always to engage people. It's to move past that initial conversation to find out what really is their interest, and to get under their skin. Because once I know what someone's interest is, I can match them with a project. That's the challenge. But probably something I'm really proud of is Michael Moore, who's our chairman emeritus. We were talking and he said, you know, I was heading back to the UK. And he said, well, we've always wanted to return to Europe. Would you be interested in spearheading that effort in Europe? And I said, yes. And probably most proud moments when I stood up there and said, the UK is open for business for Sea Keepers.
Oh, amazing.
And I looked around the room and I thought, everybody in this room I know is going to want to engage. And it's true. I've had people come up to me since then, and we've activated many things. We have marina partners now. We have boats engaged. And just seeing that expansion makes me very proud.
Yeah, how nice also that you were part of the start of that.
Yes, really. Michael and Jay, who's now our current chairman, trusted that I could take the message of Sea Keepers, and I'm immensely proud to do so.
What are some of the key programs that you've been involved in your time at Sea Keepers?
In my time, there have been some fascinating projects. Some will be genome sequencing. That was an incredible research project. We've worked with polar bears, we've worked with penguins, we've been to the Arctic, we've been down to the Galapagos. You know, we've had some amazing trips. That's science at sea, where we have scientists on board boats. But citizen science has really taken off and grown. And I think just before COVID, it began to grow. And that's where you give a boat the opportunity to collect data for a research group.
Right.
So you let them know which university you're working with or which research institution you're working with. And then you task them that when they're passing from going through here, can they test the waters here? And we'll teach them protocol training and everything. For instance, we're working with Mike Golding at NOC down in Southampton, and he's doing a microplastic study. And he left from New Zealand. He's traveling around the world. He's taking 18 months, going through the South Pacific, through Asia, right into South Africa, across to the Caribbean and back to the Mediterranean. And he's water sampling as he goes, collecting samples to find out the dispersion of microplastics. So working with NOC, that is a fabulous project.
Yeah, and so important.
Yes, because these vessels, private vessels, can go into areas that the big charter boats don't go into. Mm. Mike can take his time. We've stopped up in Vanuatu. We've been around the islands. We've met with the local communities and the yacht clubs there. And Mike's talked about what he's doing. And he's towing a net as he goes in areas where he can.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting project. Probably the most accessible project we have is Seabed 2030. And what that is, it's a UN-endorsed program. And it is mapping the ocean floor to create the definitive map of the world's ocean floor by 2030. Because our maps, some of our maps are obsolete. People don't really know areas they're traveling in. This will give you the most up-to-date. And so any boat, every boat, from a rib to a super yacht, wherever you're going, if we can install a data logger on that boat, we can take depth measurements. And that will tell us, it'll help us map the ocean floor. And that data can be used by research institutions all over the world. They can pick and choose. It's freely accessible. It's crowdsourced. It's a really good feel-good program. And the really good thing is you collect the data. It's up to you when you release it. No one's tracking you. No one knows where you are. We know where you are. We're quite happy to share your name if that's the case. But if not, we'll just give you a number or a reference so we know boat A is in the Red Sea right now.
Yeah.
And in time, we will receive the data back from that. And that's helping us to create that map of that area.
So as of 2030, then, that information will be collated and available to anybody.
It's available now. It's growing now. The IHO hold it and anyone can access it. So it's growing as we speak.
And anyone who wants to take part in that, they can take part and remain anonymous and they can have a little tiny data logger on whatever vessel, their tenders or the main vessel.
Yes.
And it's completely private and completely anonymous if they want to.
That's all. All it is recording. All it's recording is your depth. It's just attached to the backbone of your boat and it's recording all the time. And then when you're ready, you download that information. It's on a little memory stick. And then you can send it through to Seakeepers when you're ready.
So you don't have to do it straight away. So if you were doing a particularly private passage, you could keep hold of the information and then a few months later, you can send it in then.
When you're back at your home port and you're ready, yes.
That's so important because a lot of vessels, especially super yachts, private vessels, don't want to share their location. We know that also, you know, what we do.
We know that yeah. People turn things off when they shouldn't. And we absolutely
couldn't comment on that.
We're not commenting. And it's not our business. But the business is that if you're in an area and we know that very few boats go in there, please do join that program.
Yeah.
Because that data will really help the whole of the planet. Really.
Yeah, and I think that opens it up to a lot of vessels that maybe might hear about the project and think, oh, no, that's not for us because our owner is particularly private, which is completely understandable and fine. But actually, because there's that option, that does open it up to so many other vessels who could get involved, especially we've seen since COVID, a lot more vessels doing amazing remote passages, visiting places that maybe not a lot of super yachts have before. So, and that's the areas you're looking at.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I think people are also worried about cybersecurity.
Yes.
You know, that you're installing something on your boat. Are you being tracked? Are you sure you're not being tracked? When you see this logger and how simple it is, you know, take it away, take it apart, have a look at it, get your tech guys to look at it. You'll see it's not tracking anything. It's just measuring.
Yeah. What advice would you give someone looking to get into ocean conservation and research? Because it's quite an intimidating subject from the outside. So, yeah, what sort of points could you give following your own journey?
Well, I work with a lot of researchers in institutions around the world. And in fact, I took a little bit of time out to work with Florida International University because I really wanted to get to know the science community. I think anyone who has a passion and an interest in the ocean and has a scientific leaning, they should go to some of the colleges and have a chat. Look at some of the courses. There's some amazing courses here in the UK. Go and have a chat there and have a look. But also volunteer. Volunteer for people like Seakeepers and work out if this is right for you. Science, research, and ocean conservation is it's a tough topic, but you don't have to be an academic. There are other ways you can get involved in ocean conservation. You don't necessarily have to come out with a degree or a master's or a postgrad. You can pursue different ways and there's other groups you can actually join and you can bring your talents to it. And in other ways, if you're actually looking to get a job in the marine industry, always remember that there's always that component of ocean conservation there because every role you take up, you can influence how you behave in the environment and how you behave on the ocean.
So where do you see the future of ocean conservation heading from where you sit in your role at Sea Keepers?
With our industry, I think it's coming down the pike really fast. And I think people now are realizing they have to make changes because they can see it themselves. They can see now that they can get up into the cold climate, cold areas where they never used to be able to. Things are melting, passages are opening up, areas are drying out. They can physically see it themselves. So I think they're becoming more aware that they need to do something. Also, rules and regulations are there now in new bills of vessels. People can no longer pretend they don't know. Insurance companies are no longer insuring you for, or they're looking to no longer insure you for disasters which are unknown, because now we know climate change is coming.
Yeah.
Insurers are going to be changing the way they work. They're going to be saying, no, we know this is happening. You haven't adapted your boat. You haven't looked at green fuels. You haven't looked at how you run. You haven't looked at your speeds. You know, we all have to now take responsibility. I think we're beginning to take responsibility. And also, I think there are better groups out there who have strong messages, and we're working together. We're no longer working in silos, because it's an emergency now.
Yeah.
And if we don't come together, then we're not going to solve this. So everyone's more aware, people are wanting to engage, but we need to show them how. It's no longer hitting people over the head with a big stick and scaring them. It's not going to work. They're scared already. So let's work out how we can be positive, work together to take the right steps, really. And that's the future of ocean conservation in our industry.
So if you were a member of a vessel, crew member of a vessel, and you heard this chat and you wanted to get involved or learn more, even at a very entry level, what would be the first point of contact and how could someone get involved?
I think climate anxiety is a huge thing, especially amongst crew, because they're working on these vessels. They're looking around them and thinking, there's got to be something we can do here. So what I'd suggest is that we have a website. It's very easy to find us, International Seakeeper Society. Seakeepers, you'll find us. If it's not the stabilizers, then it's us.
Yeah.
We've got the big K in the middle.
Okay, good to know.
And we can start off with purely supplying something like our green guide. Now, our green guide is a digital document which shows you how you can make simple changes in your everyday habits, which will be more environmentally friendly. So it's good practices, best practices.
Yeah.
That's a very easy way to get involved. But then also they may say, I'm on board this boat. I'd like to introduce my captain to what you do. We'll have someone who'll chat to you. We'll listen to the kind of boat you are, the kind of areas you're going, and then we'll suggest things that you could possibly do, and we'll help you present that information back. But we'll take it very slowly, because I want people to call up. I want people to come and have a chat to us. It may be that they go, yeah, this isn't really for us, and that's fine, but at least they're aware of what we do.
Of course, and it's about spreading
yes.
the awareness of the brand and what you're trying to achieve, isn't it?
And even they can just get involved with, next time they're in a port, we're probably organising a beach cleanup in their area. So come along and do a beach cleanup with us. That's our community engagement.
Yeah.
We're at boat shows. We're normally doing talks. Come and find us at every boat show. We're going to be at all the shows. There's all different ways you can get involved at Sea Keepers. You don't actually have to have that boat.
Yeah.
You can get involved in things like, we're working with Pip Hare at the moment. Now, she's preparing for the Vendée Globe, but her mission is all about personal resilience and overcoming challenges. Well, that applies to the ocean and the environment and
that
us
too. That applies to everybody.
Yeah, so we've been working with local school children who've been through COVID, right? Their confidence has been knocked. Their resilience has been knocked. They hear the news all the time. So how can we inspire these young children to go on to be ocean stewards, but also not to be afraid?
Yeah.
Because the time is now and we can help these kids. So if you're interested in working with children or education, we do that too.
Yeah,
so
that's
the thing
interesting.
Is, open the door, have a chat, and we'll work out what's best.